Hey everyone, welcome to episode 2 of Gloves Off Hockey Podcast. I'm Mike Bailey. Joined with me is Ben Ware, also from Gloves Off Hockey. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Just enjoying the off season here. So,
actually, I'm gonna take that back. We have to re-record this because something fucked up. So I'm kind of pissed about that.
That's right. If you missed it, we did record. We did a live stream on Facebook, and everything we tested before, everything sounded perfect. Then we went live on the Facebook page, and no idea what happened. Didn't change anything, and it completely went to hell. So we're not going to be doing any more live streams on Facebook. We're just going to record stuff straight out, and then I can edit audio and stuff after that. So for those of you that were there for our live stream and was able to suffer through the whole thing, which we do apologize for, and we don't know why it did that, but it did. So thank you for suffering through that. We appreciate it. You are a top fan for sure. If I can give you top fan badges, I would, but we can't.
People take that shit seriously too, man. It's
they
funny.
They do. They're like, you see it on all these new Facebook posts or all these people, like some, like it'd be the most like I look at like the news or whatever, and it's just like people comment like top fan here, top fan checking in, top fan this, that. It's like,
or my favorite is when somebody's not a top fan, so they'll put the little diamond emoji at the top of their comment and then make their comments. So, yeah, I'm a top fan. See, I've got my top fan badge right here.
Right. Yeah, it's just, I don't understand the whole top fan thing. It's just another way for people to feel important, I guess.
And for anybody that doesn't run a Facebook page, the people that run the page have nothing to do with it. It's all Facebook analytics. Besides all that shit.
Yeah, so yeah, if you want a top fan badge, we can't give them out. We can take them away, though, but we can't give them out, which doesn't really make any sense. But if you are a top fan, we do love you. We do appreciate you. Don't think we hate you, because we don't. But yeah, some of you can be a little annoying once in a while, but most times you're not. So getting on to some of the top news. We didn't record last week. We were busy. So we're going to touch on some things that happened a couple weeks ago and some of the new things that just come out recently. Speaking of something that just come out recently, Artemi Panarin has spoke up against Russian President Vladimir Putin, which doesn't happen. As we all know, the Russians, they're very, very loyal to their homeland of Russia. They never speak up against it. They love it, this and that. So to hear this from Artemi Panarin is weird. If you haven't heard the quote or seen it yet, basically this is what he says: I think Putin no longer understands what's right and what's wrong. Psychologically, it's not easy for him to judge the situation soberly. He has a lot of people who influence his decisions, but if everyone is walking around you for 20 years telling you what a great guy you are and how great a job you are doing, you will never see your mistakes. He does go on to speak on some other things, but it's all pretty much political bullshit, and I'm not political, not even with American politics, so I don't care about Russian politics. So it doesn't really matter what he says. It's just he's speaking up against Putin, which doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. And like we said earlier, you know, that's probably the most amazing thing about it. And we're not talking about just some scrub playing in the AHL saying something like this. We're talking about Artemi Panarin, and when you think of top NHL guys, top Russian NHL guys, he's definitely in that conversation. Yeah, he's not Ovechkin, who's obviously the first person that comes to anybody's mind. But it's incredible that you're hearing this from him, because the whole political scene in Russia, the way they've been doing things, it's president, and I can't remember if the other position is prime minister or what the official title is, but Putin's been going back and forth between those two positions. And before he takes the other one, you know, in their fair, free elections, he pretty much transfers the power back and forth. And what I've basically taken from it is Panarin's finally being one of those guys that say, hey, this is bullshit. He's surrounded by a bunch of yes men. And, you know, something needs to change. I think the most the most interesting thing about all this is that you know, will he ever play for a Russian national team again? And you know, Bettman doesn't allow NHL players to play in the Olympics. So we at least don't have to think about or worry about that. But any other international Russian team events would even be invited to the team. We'll even want to go back to Russia. It's a very, very interesting thing to be going on right now. And I'm curious not only see how this plays out for him, but see if anybody else, like Ovechkin, says anything. It's a pretty interesting thing to be out there in the world.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, there he is. He did go on. He did, although he admitted that he was afraid of facing backlash and punishment for the interview. He said that shouldn't be the case regardless, and that he should be able to express his thoughts, whether they're positive or not. Additionally, he said that even though he's an athlete, he should still be free to share his thoughts, which he lives in the United States right now, so he does have that right. Whether or not he faces any backlash when he goes back to Russia remains to be seen. So this is going to be something interesting in the NHL to look forward to, especially when it does come back to the Olympics here in a couple years. Also, just another funny thing that's going on this offseason is Calgary, Edmonton, they make a trade. Milan Lucic goes to Calgary. James Neal goes to Edmonton. Similar numbers, similar contracts.
The whole thing, like, it's just a pointless trade. It doesn't help anybody financially, when you see a trade like this, that's kind of the first thing you look at, is who's coming out ahead money-wise, and neither of them really are. They're getting two aging players, kind of on the backsides of their career. The only possible thing I can really think of is, I mean, look at the player James Neal was 2 years ago. He holds a lot of firsts for the Vegas Golden Knights, and probably holds a couple season records for him. I'm talking out my ass a little bit here. I don't have numbers or exact statistics to back any of that up, so don't take my word. But, you know, a change of scenery could help one of these guys revitalize their career. You never really know. It's just the optics of it makes no sense.
Right. So kind of just looking over the stats from 2018-2019, James Neal, 63 games played, 7 goals, 12 assists, 19 points, minus 5, 2 power play goals, 141 shots on goal. Lucic, 79 games played, 6 goals, 14 assists, 20 points, minus 9, 2 power play goals, 74 shots on goal. Lucic, back in 2016 on free agency, he signed a 7-year, $42 million contract with a $6 million AAV. We all laughed at Edmonton when they signed him to that contract because that was just a horrible contract. However, this isn't a one-for-one. There is a conditional third-round pick, which... see if I can find the conditions of that pick, because it was an interesting condition.
Something to do with if somebody gets so many goals and the other guy doesn't get enough goals.
Yeah. Unfortunately, most places don't actually list the conditions.
Right. Don't have shitty recordings, because then you delete all your shit and you got to try and find it, and it's just...
Okay, so it's a conditional third round pick, but there's two conditions on this pick that have to be met for the Oilers to send a third round pick to Calgary. James Neal has to record at least 21 goals. Lucic has to score at least 10 fewer goals than Neal, so he can have no more than 11 goals. So they're not setting the bar very high for Lucic to have less than 11 goals.
I think, you know, we mentioned this earlier too, but like, you got these two teams, oil and fire. Like, you can't have just a clean trade with them. You gotta have some stupid bullshit to make it look like they still hate each other. I think the funniest part about it would be is if this term's getting close to being met and they just fucking ship them to the AHL for the rest of the season, so they don't have to deal with it.
Right. So Edmonton did retain 12.5% of Lucic's salary, which comes out to be $750,000. So it's just one of those trades that are like, what are you doing? Why are we doing it? Well,
it is what it is. It's a thing that happened. Like, that's the fucking easiest way to put it. It's a thing that happened. Because nothing else about it makes any fucking sense.
No, I mean, the only thing that maybe Edmonton is hoping James Neal can go back to his Vegas Golden Knights days and put up some numbers.
And I think he could, but you got to put him in a position to do that. I saw on the live stream somebody mentioned Neal will fit in better with McDavid.
Are you going to put James Neal on the line with Connor McDavid, though? Like,
exactly.
I mean, they tried it with Lucic.
In Vegas, he had to be in that position because their whole team was third liners.
Well, but I mean,
he's going to established team now.
I mean, is Edmonton really established though? Like,
that's fair. That's a fair point.
I mean, really, like, they have Connor McDavid, Draisaitl.
Mm-hmm.
What else do they have?
No, you're right. I mean. So I established more the point that they actually had players.
About it, like, Lucci could actually, or not, James Neal could actually play on the first line. Like, that's a very big possibility. And yeah, he probably could put up 20 goals on the first line. Which, I mean, wasn't it just a few years ago, or not a few, last season before, God, I can't think of his name now. He just went to the Blues, the St. Louis boy. Patrick Maroon. Didn't he have a killer season with Connor McDavid just last season, or just a year before?
I feel like it, because his name was really fucking familiar for no damn reason.
I feel like he had a good season with playing with Connor McDavid. And he was like one of those players that put up numbers, and you're like, how is Patrick Maroon doing this? Because when he was with Anaheim, he didn't really.
He was with Anaheim, and nobody knew he was with Anaheim.
Yeah, so 2016-2017, 27 goals, 15 assists, 42 points. So, I mean, yeah, I guess it's just one of those things. You put someone with Connor McDavid, and they do pretty good. So, I guess it's possible James Neal could have a semi-decent season playing with Connor McDavid. Stranger things have happened. Stranger things will happen. So,
I mean, we had an expansion team in the Stanley Cup Finals in the first season. So, I mean,
we did. But in the NHL. The thing about Vegas was, like, even though they were a team of third liners, they didn't really have any players that didn't belong in the NHL. Like, when you think about it, like all these other teams, they have bigger contracts and stuff like that, so they have to put some low-end guys to fill in spots. So you might have some guys that are fourth liners or even AHL players at best playing in NHL because that's all you can afford, whereas Vegas was a team of third liners that actually know how to play the game. So, like, yeah. I said, stranger things have happened, stranger things will happen. So James Neal goes to Edmonton. Edmonton sends Milan Lucic and a conditional third-round pick if James Neal scores 21 goals and Lucic scores 11 goals or less than James Neal. So, well, 10 goals or less than... 10 goals or fewer than... Okay, so fewer than 10 goals of what James Neal scores. It's an interesting condition, like... I'm kind of intrigued by it and kind of hope this may be something that we see from future trades in the league and let's have some wild conditions out there. Let's get some wild.
The joke and the fucking rib is always that the NBA, like, it's all these super teams. There's only four teams that got a chance really to win the fucking championship. The NHL, man, anybody can win it, and hell, you got trades like this going on that make no fucking sense, but hey, we're going to put a stupid-ass stipulation on it just to keep it interesting? Fuck yeah, let's do it.
I mean, I feel like the NHL, they just do more stupid, like, not stupid, but just trades that are like, why are we doing this trade? Like, Philadelphia and Montreal, for the last three seasons, every year at the draft, they exchange seventh-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, it started with Ron Hextall. And it's continued with Palm with the damn it, what the
it doesn't matter.
I can't even think of the G of Flyers GM now. Jesus Christ.
You had a long day already, man.
Yeah, I have. What the hell? Chuck Fletcher. So yeah, like I said, this is something that started with the Ron Hextall, and it's continued on into Chuck Fletcher, where the Flyers just and Flyers and Habs just make a seventh round trade every draft. It's gone on for 3 years now. Like, I feel like this is something that doesn't happen in any other league, where they make a trade just to make a trade that doesn't really amount to anything at all. It's just we're doing stuff. So, I mean, I can kind of see why Edmonton would make this trade, because let's face it, Milan Lucic, he is. I knew they would regret that draft or that contract the moment they signed it, and they're actually able to get rid of it for a body that can play in NHL, which, like I said, James Neal, he's not the best player out there. He could rebound and have a semi-decent season with Edmonton, but oh well.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen, man.
Right. So moving on, we'll do our GM grades that we didn't get to do last week because, like I said, we all had some things come up, so we will do our GM grades this today. Starting off with Doug Armstrong. Doug Armstrong, GM of the St. Louis Blues, who went from first to last in the last half of the season, which just a miraculous run. Couldn't believe it. So, Doug Armstrong, he actually made some moves in the offseason, not just this offseason, but last offseason, during the season. Starting off with Ryan O'Reilly from Buffalo. Gave up some assets, nothing too big. Dumped some salary. Got Ryan O'Reilly, who was in Buffalo, who was having a horrible time in Buffalo. Sounded like he was actually thinking about retiring because he hated Buffalo so much. Buffalo just kills the fun out of everything, it seems like. So, and then when he went to St. Louis, everyone's like, why are you doing this? Ryan O'Reilly's not a good player. He's washed up. You shouldn't do this. Well, who's laughing now? Ryan O'Reilly's a Conn Smythe Trophy winner, Stanley Cup winner, arguably one of the biggest reasons why they turned the season around and why they won the Stanley Cup, outside of Jordan Binnington. So
we're going to get to Binnington here in a minute, too.
Yeah, we will. Binnington, we have some more on Binnington as well. But I know you don't like St. Louis. You hate St. Louis. But trying to keep an open mind and not being biased.
I mean, objectively, I can say they did a lot of good things. Ryan O'Reilly, you know, people say, hey, you know, he was, I guess you want to use washed up, or, you know, he was just playing bad. And part of it is, if you don't like what you're doing, you're not going to fucking do well. That's just facts.
Right.
And you get a guy in a situation like that. It's not good for anybody. You don't get drafted and scouted and have all this talk about you and just be a complete, utter, total bust. Like, sometimes it is the team that's around you. Look at Eli Manning. The guy refused to play in San Diego, and I'm not saying Eli Manning is as good of a football player as Ryan O'Reilly is a hockey player, but he doesn't win one Super Bowl, let alone two, if he plays in San Diego. Look at Philip Rivers, for example. So I think O'Reilly getting somewhere where the team, the environment, where just a change of scenery, like we talked about with Lucic and James Neal, getting out of Buffalo, I think really benefited Ryan O'Reilly. And we got to see the Ryan O'Reilly everybody was expecting. Everybody knew existed. Everybody knew was out there. We got to see that this year with St. Louis. And it's great for him. Unfortunately, it's great for St. Louis. But I think that has to be up there with the best moves probably made by any team all year.
Right. I mean, so we all know Ryan O'Reilly started out with Colorado, went to Buffalo. He didn't have the best beginning in Buffalo because in 2015, he was arrested for driving his brand new Chevy pickup into a Tim Hortons in Canada. So already he was kind of off to a bad start in Buffalo, and things never really got better. He then went to St. Louis. St. Louis started off horribly. They were just looking bad. Everyone was thinking they're going to blow this up, they're going to trade assets, and they're going to start to rebuild. They did not. They just kept... They just basically just said, we're just going to hope for the best and hope things change. They fired Mike Yeo, promoted Scott Berube from up to interim from assistant head coach, and things kind of turned around and look better. During this time, they also start playing Jordan Binnington. Jordan Binnington is a 25-year-old goalie, played his first NHL game against the Philadelphia Flyers in January, and he ultimately shut them out. Also during this time, some Blues players went down to a South Philly bar, heard the song Gloria, played over and over and over, and then they basically adopted that song as their own, which I hate the song, but whatever.
Yeah, and it's all Philly's fault. So think about that next time you go to a Flyers game.
Yeah, it's always Philly's fault. But I will say this, St. Louis won the cup, it wasn't Boston, which...
I can't even be really happy that Boston didn't win the cup because St. Louis won it. I was almost willing to put up with Boston sports fans just so St. Louis wouldn't win a cup. And that's saying something.
Right. But speaking of Jordan Binnington, he's obviously one of the biggest, if not the biggest reason that they went from first to last and won the Stanley Cup.
Absolutely.
He was recently re-signed his contract. 2 years, $8.8 million, $4.4 million AAV. Not bad. Like, it's a short contract. Like I said, he is 25 years old. This was his first time playing in NHL, so I wouldn't give him a long contract because all I can do, I can think back to Andrew Hammond in Ottawa, where Hammond was seemingly unstoppable, was just playing out of his mind all the time. I couldn't even tell you where Hammond's playing right now, if he's even in the league. I have no idea. So I don't mind like a 2-year contract for Jordan Binnington.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I mean, you still... Well, yeah.
And the big thing with him is, you know, you're looking to build from the net out. Maybe give him a longer contract. I don't hate the short contract. They still have Jake Allen, which I know we're going to talk about him here in a minute as well. Andrew Hammond is apparently signed with the Wild. Just got that pulled up. But looking at looking at the Blues, you got to build from the net out. And going just real quick, looking at Binnington's numbers in San Antonio. Now, I didn't get to see him at all this past season, but living in San Antonio 2 years ago, I can tell you that the team is definitely a big physical team. I doubt that's going to change. So teams in southern markets tend to style their game that way, whether or not they're an affiliate for an NHL team or not. They've got to have something that competes with football, this big physical sport, even though one dude's getting hit every couple minutes. But in 16 games played, he went 11-4. No overtime losses. He had 3 shutouts, 32 goals allowed, and a 2.08 goals against average, giving him a 927 save percentage. So to me, what that tells me is, yeah, he's a good goalie. There's no doubt. He was in the talks for the Conn Smythe when it came down to him or O'Reilly. I know a lot of people were pretty upset that it actually wasn't Jordan Binnington. A lot of St. Louis fans were upset that it wasn't Binnington. I'm not saying he's not a good goalie. I'm not getting at that at all. But you got to build from that. They've got a good defensive core. They've got good defensive guys down in the AHL. I can only imagine it extends into the ECHL as well.
Right. No, I mean, they just re-signed Binnington to 2 years. Jake Allen still has another 2 years, so they only have $8.7 million in their goaltending. And they're both signed in until 2000, at the end of 21. So... they'll keep Nelson, the two goaltenders, for the next couple of years. Also, looking over the team, everyone is basically signed up until at least the end of next year. Ivan Barbashev, he's a RFA this year. Joel Edmondson, he's another RFA this year. So you're basically going to get the same team next year. They still have another $4.3 million in cap room, so they can add some pieces here and there if they need to. They have no, their highest contract is $7.5 million, which is Vladimir Tarasenko and Ryan O'Reilly. Next is Alex Pietrangelo at $6.5 million. So it's one of those teams that's managed to make a good team without spinning up to the cap and not having to really overpay for anybody. Like, what they're paying for their players are really getting a good contract value out, which this day and age, you get some really inflated contracts out there that really make you scratch your head and wonder why. But St. Louis is one of those teams that's managed to put a good together. It's managed to put together a good team and not kill them in a cap, which, going on winning a Stanley Cup, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and it unfortunately sets them up pretty well for the future as well. And, you know, you look at it too, you've got Jake Allen, and, you know, maybe this was just rookie luck for Binnington, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at what the Penguins did a few years ago. They had Marc-Andre Fleury pretty much carry them all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Starts playing kind of shitty. Look who comes in, saves the day, Matt Murray. Then they went on, had that two-goalie tandem for a little bit. Obviously, Fleury is now in Vegas. But at the end of the day, the fact that you've got two guys that would start on any NHL team in the league, and you can put them in whenever, it sets them up pretty well at goal, and the rest of the team is what it is.
Right, and Bennington, he is actually 26 now, and Jake Allen
just had a birthday pretty recently. I think.
Then Jake Allen's, he's 28, so that's looking good at their goaltending. Also, Tyler Bozak was recently added. He does have a just a modified no trade clause. He's still signed up until 2021. The end of 2021. He's another player that they added in the offseason. $5 million cap hit. He's 33 years old, so he's a little old. I guess any of that leadership out there. Well, the other thing that I found interesting was nobody on the Blues have ever played in the Stanley Cup Finals before.
No.
Which, you hear it all the time, like, teams are looking for players that have been to the finals, that knows what it takes. Like, you can't win if someone's never been there before. Like, are we kind of just getting away from that where you don't need that anymore? Like, a good team's a good team, whether they have someone that's been to the finals before or not. Like, it's just a good team's a good team.
I think there's something to be said for the experience. But you look at the Hawks. I think not last year, it would have been 2 years ago again, maybe even 3 years ago. You look at just these long seasons, you have these continued long seasons, the fatigue does start to get to you. And so experience only takes you so far. You have to have the skills, the conditioning, like, you got to be prepared for the long haul. It's going to be interesting to see if St. Louis starts to build a dynasty, kind of like we've seen with Pittsburgh and Chicago over the past 10 years. And even sprinkle LA in there, get them in the conversation as well.
I don't think they'll... win next year, or I don't foresee a dynasty. Like, they're just so hard to make nowadays, and you do have you do have all these other teams kind of knocking on the door and stuff.
Yeah.
But things happen. Like,
The thing I'm hopeful for is Yeo came in. What was it, last year, 2 years ago? Turned that team around, and everybody was so high on him. And I'm just sitting there with my hands up, like, how the fuck did this happen? Mike Yeo is not that good a coach.
Right.
And he comes in this year and proves it. Well, I don't know Berube from Adam. But I'm hoping that this year was just a fluke, like the worst possible fluke ever. And next year he comes back and just shits the bed. You've got two goalies that can't hack, and you've got a team that's just in the shitter. That's a pipe dream, but that's what I want. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for it.
Yeah, Craig Berube, he did get his first head coach gig in Philadelphia, was pretty much given a team that wasn't made for the NHL and said, here you go, do what you can with it. They didn't do anything, so they ultimately fired Berube. Then he got hired by St. Louis as an assistant. And they fired Mike Yeo earlier this season, promoted Berube up, and Berube got the players to play. So I know you're biased, you hate St. Louis, but Stanley Cup winners went from last to first, has some cap rooms left. Basically, all their contracts are signed up until the end of next season. In my eyes, you cannot give them less than an A+.
And I'm not going to disagree with you, but I'm not going to grade them either. I can't bring myself to give them a good grade, and it's not fair for me to give them a bad grade. So I'm just not going to grade them.
All right. Also, they did resign. They did extend Craig Berube earlier, the end of last month, to a 3-year contract extension. Since when he was promoted up to head coach, they went 38-19-6 in the regular season. They beat the Jets, Stars, Sharks, and Bruins to win a Stanley Cup Finals. So,
because of course they beat San Jose.
Surprisingly, especially with everything San Jose had going through them. But San Jose will be a next week topic, and we have plenty of talk to talk about with them. So continuing on with our grades, we have Boston Bruins. Runners up, they lost to St. Louis in 7 games. Don Sweeney, he's... What the fuck? Don Sweeney, he's built a pretty decent team up there. Basically, all their players are signed until the end of next season, outside of Charlie McAvoy, Brandon Carlo. They're both RFAs, so they still need to be signed this offseason. They have $8.1 million in cap space. The highest contract is David Krejci, $7.25 million, followed by Tuukka Rask at $7 million. David Krejci, he's actually 33 years old. I did not know that.
Man, except for guys like Chara, I think Yager's another one that comes to mind when you think of just old assholes in the league.
Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys, like some of these teams, you just get so used to think of how old they're getting. And I think that's kind of the situation we're running into here in Boston. I mean, Char is 42. They just re-signed him, gave him a year extension, re-sign, however you want to look at it. Dude's 42. He's 6'9", so that comes with his own set of issues, being that tall. And then add to it that he's having off-season surgery to remove some fragments from his elbow. I'm assuming it's probably bone fragments. But you give him an extension, and yeah, he's the face of the team, I would say. You think of the Bruins, you think of probably Chara, Rask, and I would guess probably the third person you think of is Marchand. So it makes sense in the sense that you would want to keep that. But to me, kind of having that that hometown deal, that's more of a high-name player that could get more money somewhere else. Given his team the discount, not so much the team saying, hey, keep playing for us, because eventually that risk is not going to be worth the reward on the team's end.
Right, and he did sign just a 1-year deal, $2 million with $1.75 million in the performance-based bonuses. But it's kind of one of those deals where you're not losing anything. You're not giving up a player to keep him. You do have plenty of young guys still back there to play if he needs a rest or gets hurt. I mean, you still have Torrey Krug, Kevin Miller. They still have Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo that they have to re-sign, but I imagine that they'll get both those RFAs re-signed. Probably not too bad. So it's kind of like one of those deals. Like, it's just like, you know what? We have the room. Char's been a good player for us. Let's just bring him back for his leadership. You know, it's just kind of like one of those things. It doesn't hurt them. It could help them just a little bit. It's just one of those deals where it's a low risk, low reward type of thing. So I don't have any issues with the contract. It's just one of those things. You know, it's what hockey GMs do. They reward loyalty, and Char has been loyal. He's a fan favorite there. He played through a broken jaw. Everybody loved it. So it is what it is. It's just one of those deals that doesn't hurt nothing, doesn't really help. It's just a hockey deal. Like I said, everybody else on the team is signed except for the two young defensemen, which I imagine that they get re-signed. Tukaresk is still there, has a couple more years left. Yaroslav Halak, I forgot that he was even the backup. I don't think he even played last year.
I think he played like maybe twice.
Yeah, it seems like it. I know he didn't play in the playoffs at all, but they still have him there. They do have one buyout, Dennis Seidenberg. I forgot they bought him out, which they have a $1.1 million cap hit, which lasts until the end of next season. Matt Bleski, they have a $1.9 million cap hit, ends at next season as well. So the next season you're going to free up another $3 million. Yeah, I can't math.
It's all good.
So yeah, next season they're going to free up another $3 million, plus they'll have to re-sign a few people, such as Charlie Coyle, Torrey Krug, Kevin Miller. Basically the big guys are signed up for a while. Patrice Bergeron, he signed up until the end of 22, $6.8 million cap hit. David Pastrnak signed up until the end of 23 with 6.666, just sixes in his cap hit. That's $6,666,000, $666.
Sounds like he's trying to troll somebody.
Right. Brad Marchand, who only has a $6.1 million cap hit, is signed up until the end of 25. David Backes, forgot he's still there. He's got a $6 million cap hit. Ends next season. So, they still have $8 million in free space, barring any trades or any other extensions. So, and they're not young. They're not old. They're kind of just there. Their average age is 28. Well, they're about 29 years old, which not bad, not good. It is what it is. So they're another team. Like, they can definitely add on a piece here and there, and when you think they're out of it, they can add another piece and be right back into it. So
they've just had a full team built for a while. They're in a different position than a lot of teams. Their issue isn't cap space, it's age. How old are our guys getting?
Right. And, like, they don't make a lot of trades. They don't make a lot of stuff because, like I said, next year they have all their picks except for a round four pick. 21 and 22, they have all their draft picks. So it's not like they trade a lot of their picks away. They traded their fourth round pick February 25th to New Jersey for Marcus Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
They've made a... Well, they got Charlie Coyle from Minnesota, February 20th, 2019. But, they don't make a lot of crazy trades, you know? Like, they don't give up a lot of stuff. Which, a lot of teams, they give up everything for nothing. Like, we see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, Don Sweeney, he's done a good job. Like, going back until... They made three trades last year, February 25th, 20th, and January 11th. They only made three trades. They made one September 11th, 2018. After that, they made one February 26th. So yeah, they don't do a whole lot, which is just smart on Don Sweeney.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just one of those teams. Yeah, they're starting to age. They're starting to get older, but they do have some young guys to help out. So they're going to be one of those teams that's going to be hanging around for a while. Brad Marchand, 31 years old, signed up until 24-25. So that's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's going to be 37? He's going to be about 37 years old when his contract ends. Patrice Bergeron, he's going to be about 36, 37 when his contract ends. So it's kind of interesting to see what happens and from there. But I give them a solid A for a grade.
Yeah, I don't hate the Chara signing, but I think for that, for me, just keeping an aging guy that's having surgery in the offseason, give him this. Obviously, they know they have a squad there. They know there's not a lot of pieces they need to add, not anything they need to lose either. They're gonna consistently be a team that you always got to keep an eye on. A- for me.
All right, sounds good. All right, guys, appreciate you guys for all tuning and listening to us. Be sure to check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, the Anchor.fm app, all those places. They have apps for iOS and Android. Next week, we'll be continuing on with our GM grades, St. Louis and Carolina. Carolina really surprised me. St. Louis has been hanging out there for a while, but thank you, guys. I am Mike Bailey.
I'm Ben Ware, and if you got a chance, go check out our friends at Sometimes I Talk. It's a podcast put on by one of my good friends. He talks about a little bit of everything, covers some sports sometimes. So if you get a chance, go ahead and check them out.
All right, guys, you all enjoy your week, and we will see you next weekend.